Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We hope you're setting a spot out on your radio dial for us at AM 1570, as well as making sure you're hitting BaltimorePositive.com as often as possible. Next Thursday, come hit us up at Greenmount Station at Hampstead. We'll be giving away the Back to the Future scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. It will be the Maryland Crab Cake Tour coming back to Carroll County in Hampstead again. Looking forward to that. Always a great crab cake. Always a good time up there with Chris and Dave and everybody up in Hampstead. Also going to be on the 13th back at Fadley's in Lexington Market. The California Angels of Anaheim of Los Angeles will be in town that weekend. Mike Trout will be fishing. Trout, fish, crab cakes. That'll be the 13th of the month. Luke Jones is here. He unfortunately dealt with the fish wrap of the Orioles. What a bad, weird baseball game on Wednesday night, and the rain all 3 days for the Cardinals in town. They wind up losing 2 out of 3, but just, I don't know, man. I mean, you and I get together every morning. I got really saucy on Wednesday morning because I'm really kind of pissed off at all of this, just how awful the new ownership's been, and just pew. And they're going to lose plenty more games, Luke.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no end in sight for this. I think there are certainly things you can point to that it can get better, but
Well, the lineup, just in
what's that?
general,
Right.
getting real major league players in the lineup would be
Yeah,
good.
I mean, Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser. Norfolk's been dealing with rain this week too. They've had a couple rain outs, so they haven't been able to continue their rehab assignment, but they will, and they're going to be back in the lineup. And look, this team's 19-36. Season shot. We know that. We've known that for a few weeks now. Are there ways it can get better? Sure. And we were talking about that on the heels of a three-game winning streak coming out of Memorial Day. But it was a reminder that, yeah, a three-game winning streak isn't making up for everything. And you kind of see what happened over the last 2 nights where they didn't get good pitching. Let me be clear about that. But they went 4 for 31 with runners in scoring position the last 2 nights. And these were two games where, if you look at it through that lens in terms of, can you get a couple more hits with men on base? Then you might win one of these. You might be talking about a series win. You could be talking about a series sweep, but that's baseball, right? And that's they're not good at those things. I mean, they're not good at anything really. We've talked about it. I've used that redeemable quality line how many times now over the last few weeks where you just look at this team and there isn't a strength, right? I mean, there are a lot of really bad things, and even the things that aren't as bad aren't very good. So at this point, it really is talking about health. They got Mullins back in the lineup on Wednesday. They got Rutschman back in the lineup on Wednesday, although he struck out 3 times and continues to hit in the number two hole. I don't. It's the belief of Adley Rutschman rather than Adley Rutschman at this point that's hitting in the two spot in the lineup. But part of the problem with that is, you don't have 5 guys you feel good about in the lineup, let alone 9 to fill out on a nightly basis. So, and that was supposed to be the strength. So, another frustrating series. Cade Povich, it finished in such disappointing fashion. It covered up. I thought he looked really good through the first 3 innings. I will continue to say what I said to you after the home opener. I still think there's the makings of a good pitcher in there somewhere. Now, let me be clear what I mean by that. I don't mean an ace. I don't mean a number two starter. I don't even mean a number three starter. But back end of the rotation, multi-inning swing guy out of the pen, I think Cade Povich can develop. And he's someone that I certainly, of all the pitchers that they have run out there so far in 2025, he's at least interesting to me in the sense that, he strikes people out, and he needs to continue to develop his changeup. That needs to be a way bigger factor for him to try to navigate a lineup 3 times, and that's what he ran into trouble with against St. Louis on Wednesday night. But those are the things you're looking for at this point in time, because it's not the win-loss column. I mean, that's completely shot at this point. So you're looking for improvement from individuals. I mean, we've talked a lot about Jackson Holliday. As awful as this season has been, seeing him very much take a meaningful step or two forward has been great to see. You'd like to see some of his brethren with the young core take a few cues from him, because he's been much better, whereas other guys have either plateaued or regressed. So that's what you're kind of looking at this point. But bringing it back to Wednesday specifically, You had an early lead. You had a chance to add to that early lead, and you didn't really do it. And then Cade Povich does falter third time through the order. And, I mean, the bullpen work, they gave up another run after that. I mean, I mean, it's just, they're just not good enough. I mean, we can continue to get mad and yell about it every day. And that doesn't mean I'm any less disappointed, right? I'm not going to sit here and say that this team is in a wild, embarrassing disappointment. But at the same time, they've told us who they are for now. You just have to, like, that's what it is. And can they play better the rest of the way as they get healthier? Sure. Is it going to save their season? No, it's just not. And this week was a reminder of that after a three-game winning streak. And the eternal optimist tries to talk themselves into some scenario of getting back into it, and then they lose the next two in such frustrating fashion. So, I mean, I hate to say this because I don't mean it to sound it, but it is what it is. This is a bad baseball team, and they're going to be pay. I guess the good news is they're going to be playing another bad baseball team this weekend. For supremacy of stink, I guess, as it pertains to the AL, with the White Sox coming into town. And I certainly wasn't expecting the Orioles to be duking it out with them to be the worst team in the American League, but here we are.
Lou Jones is here. He has been covering the Orioles and running around with the Ravens. The OTAs are in progress. You can find all that at Baltimore Positive. The part where we expect this thing to change when the lineup changes is the runners in scoring position and the left on base thing. And Palmer's looking forlorn, 4 for 30 the last two games. It's all of that in the post game. Situational hitting. I mean, we can beat on the pitching, and you and I will, and we have all off season and have all this season. But at some point, it's uncanny. I mean, they might lead the universe, the history of baseball, in runners left on. I mean, like it's hard to be a last place team and be this bad with talent in general in the big leagues. You have to work hard at it, and the pitching is paramount to that when they're losing 7-0. But the fact that they get 9 hits, 11 hits, 12 hits, and score 3 and 4 runs, it's incredible. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, and Palmer, I heard at the beginning of the post game show, he made the comment, the silver lining is that you did have 31 at bats the last two nights with runners in scoring position. So it shows that you're getting some guys on base, you're getting some hits, you're getting guys in position to score runs, but you can't get the big hit. And what's amazing, Nestor, I just looked it up because of what you just said. I mean, they are right now, as they enter Thursday's off day, they are 26th in weighted runs created with runners in scoring position. Yeah, that's a nerdy stat, but I'm just trying to give you a stat that has a little more context. Batting average with runners in scoring position, 26th. The only team's worse, Colorado. Makes sense. Here's one for you, the
But Colorado
Mets.
feels like they don't get runners in scoring position
Here's one.
often,
This one, this one's, and obviously the Mets have been good because of their pitching this year. The Mets are 28th in batting average with runners in scoring position. So go figure on that one. But the others, Texas, who's already fired their hitting coach, and the White Sox, right? So this weekend, wow, we're going to see one team that hits 213 with runners in scoring position. The other team hits 206 with runners in scoring position. So, well,
But the
I guess you
Orioles
need
get
to.
more guys on, though.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly feels that way. I mean, they're it is very frustrating, and I mean, but we've been talking about that part of it going back to the second half of last year, where maybe it wasn't this pronounced, but it certainly was something that started showing up. And what needs to change? I mean, it's okay. You replace the manager; they've done that. Well, we're still seeing these same issues. You look to the hitting coaches, you look to the players in the lineup, you look at the order. I've already said it. I mean, the idea that Adley Rutschman and Ryan Mountcastle continue to hit high in the order, there's another there are layers to that. And what I mean by that is you want to try to have some semblance of lineup balance, but because I've seen a lot of people on social media, and I don't even necessarily disagree with the sentiment, let me be clear, but I've seen a lot of people asking, why is Ryan O'Hearn still hitting fifth as opposed to hitting second or third? The problem is when you kind of look at their lineup construction, you don't want to put just three lefties in a row, right? Because it just makes things so easy for the opposing manager to just throw a lefty reliever at you if that pocket in the order is coming up. So if you have Holiday first, O'Hearn second, Gunnar Henderson third, that makes it very easy to match up against the top of your lineup. Problem is, they don't have a single right-handed hitter other than, I don't know, Ramon Arias. I don't really want to hit Ramon Arias second, and I don't say that to be disrespectful to him, but like, there's not a whole lot of upside there. This is where, for me, Jordan Westberg hopefully coming back within the next week or so. Man, that would be the guy to put in the second spot. You can move Rutschman down. You can move Mountcastle down, and try to see if you can balance things out a little more. But the problem is, again, when you're trying to make an optimal lineup out of two or three hitters that are actually performing, I mean, there's no such thing. And that's where I do empathize a little bit with Tony Mancelino. Again, I'm not excusing it because I, you know, the cynic would also say, well, all these guys stink against left-handed pitching anyway, so what's the difference, right? And I would say, touche, fair point. I mean, it's just they need to get a couple of these guys back. You know, you're hoping Westberg can come back and be a bet the better version of himself. I mean, Colton Cowser played three games all year, you know, four games before he got hurt. So get those guys back in, and hopefully that means you can shake the lineup up a little bit more. I mean, the lineup has kind of stayed very similar, you know, and this certainly lends itself to what I've been trying to tell people, that Brandon Hyde, this was not a case where Brandon Hyde had full autonomy over the batting order. That's a collaborative effort with the front office.
Well, I
And
went through that with Mateo playing center field. Brandon Hyde's gone. He's still playing center field.
Well, and that was, I mean, obviously you had Mullins out, Laureano's on the IL. I mean, so those are two center fielders right there. I mean, could they have put Carlson in center and Mateo in left? Yeah, I mean, I think I would have done that. I'm guessing it has something to do with if Mateo feels like he can get a better read if he's going to play the outfield, which is the problem to begin with. But here we are. If he's going to play the outfield, you can get a better read off the bat playing center field rather than a corner spot. But I mean, it's just they don't have enough good options. It's a bad team. Like, and the injuries have indeed piled up when it comes to their offense. When you look at the number of guys that were projected to be regulars or just their position player roster in general, about half of it's been on the IL here. So that's going to hurt any team, let alone a team that gets off to a bad start and has guys struggling and you're not good situationally. And it's all in your head at this point because you've struggled going back to last July. I mean, we've talked about that house of cards analogy. I mean, it completely crumbled, and now you're just trying to pick up the pieces. And that's where, you know, you look at it and say, kudos to Jackson Holliday. Kudos to Ryan O'Hearn. I mean, it's been great to watch them perform, but it's frustrating that on any given night you have six or seven other guys not performing. So, you know, at this point, it really, for me, I'm looking at Cowser and I'm looking at Westberg coming back, and you know, they should be back here at, you would think, any day now. You know, they need to play a few games at Norfolk, and that's fine, and get them back in there. The lineup looks a little more representative on paper, at least in theory. And then you hope it can look better. But again, what are we even talking about here in terms of improvement? I said to you the other day, like, you know, if the Orioles could reel off a win 20 of 30, then yeah, they'd be in, you know, they'd be starting to sniff their way closer to 500 again. But I mean, they haven't shown an ability to even have a month where they go 500, let alone, you know, going 20 and 10 or something like that. So it's just, here we are, and it stinks. And you know, I've seen people constantly on social media, it's like the Orioles elevate their blood pressure on a nightly basis.
Well,
And
it's sort of like and look, I talked a little bit about this, and I don't want to get too pissed off because I did yesterday, and I'm not gonna.
yeah,
I
that's what I'm
just
saying. Like, at some point,
like
like,
don't get me started
you
after
know,
40
I don't want
years
to
of
give
this.
myself a panic attack
You know,
over this
after
team. It's not worth
Angelos
it.
and now this clown who owns the team who puts himself behind home plate makes bobbleheads and goes running. So I mean, I'm burying Jim Henneman today. I'll be wind up talking baseball all day with people. I've had Rick Vaughn on at length for an hour. I had Charles Steinberg on for an hour talking about. What made this thing great, what made you care about it and made your father's love of it transfer to you, and what missed my kid's love of mine for it, because my kid Doesn't care. My kid's your age and just doesn't care. He's
Yeah.
gone. It's over with for him. He's not buying into the myth, all Baltimore's team, and it's here to save Baltimore,
The
and it
scary, you know,
unites
can
the
I
community and all of that. Yeah.
just what, and sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
No,
off.
it's all right. I do it to you
For
all the time.
the problem, and what you just mentioned about Barry, the problem is you now have a generation coming behind that was a never was. It's not a walking away, it's a never was because of how bad it's been for most of the last 40 years. So
Dude, you're
that is a
42.
major.
If you had a daughter that was 10 and 8 and your life took a different tack, like your sister's life is unfolded with these daughters,
Yeah.
you better, I mean, you're going to try to make them like baseball. You're going to try. I
I
tried to make
am, but
my
I'm
kid
also
like
going to feel
baseball.
guilty. I'm gonna, maybe that's where I'll defer to my
Sweetie,
brother
if you want
involved.
to play the flute, if you want to do something
Yeah.
else, if you want to shoot hoops, if you want a lacrosse
Yeah.
stick, if you want to be in the arts, if you want to be a computer nerd and do STEM, all these other things you can do besides what I did in the 70s and 80s and 90s, which is sit around and learn every baseball statistic
Yeah.
that feels really empty to me. And I love our friendship, relationship, people to talk baseball with, other people that know baseball. I don't know what to do with it anymore because I don't think it's going to be saved by this guy. And I held out hope. I had tears in my eyes with that creep Whistler, Chris Ullman, last year on opening day because I still came back and drank the water of believing in the myth of Disney World. Like, this is so below the bar. This guy's put $2 billion into this. He paraded himself around. He paraded his partner around. He's gone around on television doing the papal wave, and I own the Orioles, and it's a philanthropy, and I'm friends with this guy, and I love Biden, and I love Trump, and I know Cal, and I mean, and kids want pictures with me now, and I get to sign my autograph. It reminded me, I remember when Leonsis bought the Capitals. Back in the day, seeing him in the upper deck when it was completely empty, walking around with a Sharpie looking for people to sign things because he was an AOL executive who nobody had ever heard of. And he bought a hockey team and he got to be famous. And he wasn't even a Caps fan, he was a Rangers fan. He's a New York guy. So the notion that David Rubenstein was going to save the team, make commercials, make funny funnies with Cal and squirt to squirt zone and all that. When it comes time to being the owner, when you own it, you stand in front of it. I own my house. I own my life. I own this radio station. I own Baltimore Positive. I stand in front of it. When you own it, you stand in front of it. There's an old expression, own it. Own it. You own the team. Mike Elias runs the team. Katie Griggs, whoever she is. I got one email from her. It was rude. Once that happens, what do I owe them? They give you a press credential, don't give me one, and they refuse to meet me, refuse to shake my hand. They refuse to take me seriously, even though there's hundreds of thousands of people to follow what we do here. And then they go out and they play like this. They run the team like this. They run scared. They're nowhere to be found. I can't find Katie Griggs today. I can't find Mike Elias. I can't find David Rubenstein. And the stadium is empty. Now you can say weather, whatever it is. And I know why it's empty now. My buddy explained this to me the other night over at Costas. We were having some crabs. He gave him $2,000 for the Birdland thing, the account. And I'll just use it whenever I want at full price. It's like buying a hotel subscription for $5,000, and then the Marriott charges $329 a night for every room when you could get it for $99. So that's the way these tickets are. These tickets are all $28, $30, $50, $80, all that. There's no $10 get-ins. They're not going to do that because it's going to undercut the people that have the Birdland membership because you can't use that on StubHub. It's a scam, dude. I don't know what else to call it. It's a scam. I see all the signs in the stadium, all these sponsors that won't talk to me that give them money, and now nobody's watching the games. So the sponsors that bought into this, the people that bought into BAL and 98 Rock and their ads running, dude, this is where it really ends, right? This is really where it ends. It's June. Ocean City's that way. Deep Creek's that way. My kids have soccer and this and that, and the pool's open in the backyard, and concerts, Merriweather, Keith Urban's down there, and Dave Matthews on Saturday night, right? There's things going on besides shitty baseball for people to do, especially at full price. But when you've given them a couple grand and you've got this account, like my buddy does, and says, dude, I have 2 grand I have to spend. Please go to a game with me. We'll get the expensive tickets. We'll sit in the front row. Well, and I'm like, well, do I want to sit in the front row and watch the White Sox this weekend instead of going to Dave Matthews when the weather finally gets decent? Maybe. So, and here's where it ends, Luke. It ends on Tuesday night when they start playing at 10 o'clock at night as a last place team in Seattle. That's when no one sees the ads. That's when no one's there. That's when no one cares. You and I have to get up at 5 in the morning and pretend we watched it all night. I don't even know if we're going to do that because we didn't do that when they in 2019 because they stunk and nobody cared. And that's the part where, I mean, I'm looking through my guest list. If all of you love Baltimore Positive, you're going to get plenty of that this summer because I can't get up every morning and do hours of this with you, and you don't want to do it either. And the part of it is, it makes me look like such a dick because they're awful. Everything about them is awful. And when people come up to me and say, hey, the new people, how do they treat you? Awful. The baseball is awful. Their treatment of me has been awful. Their treatment of the community has been awful. Their treatment of the media has been awful. Their respect for all of it has been awful. And what's on the field is awful. And what's really awful is they've evaporated. And man, that tells me where your ticker is. That tells me who you are. Everyone's a hell of a winner. Let's have the hot dog races. Let's run around. Let's bring the kids down from New York and the Acela. Let's dress up in the hot dog suit. I own the Orioles. Yeah? Let's buy everybody beer. Let's make it rain up in this month. Yeah. Oh, let's go. Let's buy some social media. Authenticity. We can buy it. We'll look like locals because we were in orange. It's gross. It's just gross. All of it's gross. And the part that's really concerns me, and it always goes back to this, it never. It's always about the baseball with you. And that's good. You're the reporter, and it's, hey, how do we get the
But
team
it
built?
has to be because
Fixing the team will fix
you can be the
everything, right?
nicest people in the world. No one is paying to go watch bad Major League Baseball. I mean, they just aren't. You
I
can
agree with you.
give away knickknacks and all that, but you know,
And we
but
don't beat them up
that's the
enough for
point I
that.
always try to make.
I wonder if
That
I get
doesn't
a
mean.
press pass on Hispanic night. They have Jewish Heritage Night, Christian Heritage Night. I mean, why not Muslim Heritage Night? Why not Asian Baseball Night? Why not bring the Kiwanis Club out? Why not have Ocean City Night? I mean, how about Baseball Night? How about Gunnar Henderson Night? How about Adley Rutschman Night? Not David Rubenstein Bobblehead Night. How about we play baseball? And they've gotten so far away from that. Star Wars Night, all the nerd stuff that they do down there. That's Milk the Cow Night, all that. That's great. You know what made Oriole baseball great? Charles Steinberg will tell you this week. Rick Vaughn will tell you this week. If Jimmy Henneman were here, he would tell you. It was the team. The team was good. That's the team and the humans. Brooks, Frank, Boog, Louie, Belanger. Pick any of them. That's why Jim Henneman was sobbing back on October 6, 1991, when the stadium closed down, and Charles Steinberg told me a half an hour story about making all of us cry. Maybe you were too young to cry. I cried. So I'm crying now at the fact that I get up every morning and talk about this, and I have to bullshit people into believing there's some hope. I mean, I can call Bisciotti a prick and Harbaugh, but they're competent. They're competent in their sleaziness. They have competently washed their hands of the kicker and moved on, and people will forget about it. But they win football games. So I have other issues with them, and everything they do is about winning football games, no matter who it hurts, no matter what that massage therapist says. It's about winning football. He was a hell of a kicker. We're glad we kept him around, even though you were whatever you were behind closed doors. So with the baseball team, there has been such incompetence for so long that I'm exasperated. I'm speechless on the other end of Angelos and 19 years of this and Wes Moore coddling up with the former owner and the owner making a mockery of everything, including Kevin Brown. And these people are running and they're in last place and the stadium's empty and they're all getting paid and no one cares but you and me and everybody else who's pissed off that they put money into this because they're not getting my buddy's money again, dude. And all these people that gave them money this year who aren't the bleeding hearts, who weren't out there watching Rio Ruiz and Dan Straley. That's your new favorite name. I'll continue to use that. I love Chico Simone better, but he was a winner. I don't know what to say when people come up to me and want to talk baseball with me and say, look at the owner. He's hiding. He put a bobblehead out 4 weeks ago. Look at the president of the team. She's come to town, knows no one, and doesn't care to know people like me. Greg Bader's still got a job over there running the television network. Hollander was awful on the air this week. Just like they're all running scared for their jobs. The team's so bad that they can't say what you and I say. And I don't even want to sit here and bitch about it all morning. Been doing that for 25 years. It's terrible. And it does F with my mental health. It really does. It makes me think, what did I do with my life to put this stupid sports radio station together to glorify these sports teams that say they're community oriented? I know better. You know who's community oriented? Me. I've lived here my whole life. I've seen it all. Every minute of every day. I'm one of the few left that can call it what it is. Steinbrück's gone. He's up in Worcester. Rick Vaughn's down in Florida. They've been gone for a long, long time, and they watch this from afar, and they don't see anything that they recognize as what built it and made it great. They see Cal Ripken looking old and paunchy, but like other than that, he's behind home plate. All the rest of it looks like orange, but it doesn't have anything to do with the philosophy of what made this great, what got the stadium built. They don't have any of that. They don't have it in their soul. I saw that when I said to David Rubenstein, there's 10,000 empty seats in the up. I was respectful to him, man. I didn't go into his temple and act like a jerk. I went up, I shook his hand like a man. I'm 56 years old. And I said, I do sports radio. My name's Aparicio. Those empty seats, that's trauma in this community, Mr. Rubenstein. There's trauma in this community. Respect that, respond to that, and treat people better than the other people did. And you have said to me privately, and I'll give you the oxygen here this morning since I'm pissed off all over again because they're in last place and it's not June and they're irrelevant, even though we're talking about them. They are irrelevant. You have said at various points in regard to them that they respected the Angelos people enough that they didn't change much. So, a year and a half into this, what have they changed? The
I
sound
mean,
system?
they've got a bunch of money from the state that they're going to be doing renovations.
And we saw what the Ravens did with that,
But
right? They turned into the T. Rowe Price money and a club level that none of us will ever get in. That used to be the press box.
well, I mean, that's also Stadia in 2025 in America. I mean, it's I'm not
That's how
saying it's
Lamar makes $50 million a year.
but public money for Stadia, I mean, that's how it works. If not, they're going to go somewhere else and get it, right? I mean, that's what we're seeing. I've seen that with Oakland and
I'm not saying they should do that, but don't bullshit me about where the money's going to make the
I
city
gotcha.
better. No, it's going to make a billionaire more profitable. It's
But
like
that's
these, it's like the big
always
beautiful bill with this orange clown that's kissing up to Russia. Like it don't.
But that's always that. That's always been what's sold, the bill of goods that's sold about public funding for stadiums. I mean, there are very people have done case studies,
But
and
I
there are
saw Camden
very.
Yards change the complexion of the city. I did.
It
I
did for a time. For a
When
time, it
people went
did.
down there 80 times a year. Now they're not going, and they could put anything they want into that stadium, this side of the Pope or Bruce Springsteen, and it's a beautiful empty stadium is what it is, that really has no soul. I mean, like literally, it's had no winning, it's had no Delmon Young and Cal Ripken running around and the Pope and Billy Joel, Paul McCartney, and it is. It makes me sad to go down there, Luke, and it has for a long, long time. For a long, long time, and I've been open and honest about that. I go down there, and all I see is pissed away potential for my
Well,
community.
to bring it back to the here and now
And
and look.
but the here and now is they're pissing it away, and that's what shocks me. This guy spent $2 billion. He came in. He's
Yeah,
Mr. Big
but he
Bags,
didn't
and
expect, and this is
he didn't know what he was
I'm
getting into. He's naive.
I don't know. I disagree with that
Well,
characterization
he's going to walk
because,
away and make a lot of money when he flips it. So
but
that's how these guys think.
in terms of what ownership was getting into, no one expected the team to be in the position they're in 2025. You and I didn't. Let's not act like you and I thought they were going to be a last place team this year. Everyone was wrong
Oh, he
about
picked a hell of a
this.
time to buy the team and come
But
in,
everyone
but
was wrong about this.
yeah.
And so from that standpoint, I don't, empathy is the wrong word. I can understand being shell-shocked, thinking that you were buying something that, at least from a baseball standpoint, looked like it was a Lamborghini, and
But the
it's,
10,000 empty seats last October were really problematic as to the
I
depth of
understand, but
what they
I don't
own.
see the connection with that, with how they're playing right. That's, I'm talking about how they're playing right now,
The
and the
connection in that is some sort of a commitment. When you have that many empty seats in a playoff game, that you have to go all in and work harder than you've ever worked in a way. Like, you know what Rick Vaughn said to me? It was hard work building that baseball team in the 1980s. It was hard work. Everybody rolled their sleeves up. Lucchino, Edward Bennett, everybody thought they were moving them to DC. They weren't trusted by any of the reporters. I mean, that's what we talked about Jim Henneman. Jim Henneman thought the team was moving to DC always. So they never trusted any. The reporters never trusted any EBW or any of them. So they had to work harder, be more present, be more trusting, be more everything to get this place built, especially after the Colts left town, right?
yeah.
So there's a whole thing that went on with those guys building this thing that this billionaire has come in and done the Papa wave and gives autographs and you know, it seeks anonymity while he seeks fame and makes bobbleheads of himself and he hides. He's owned the team a year and a half. I shook his hand. He turned away from me like I was a ghost. Like it was rude. It was just rude. I don't know what else to say. Why would I seek him out again? Why would I want to have him on the air other than if he wants to come on the air and be honest, his handler's not going to allow that. I met that clown. Yeah, I mean, this has been a clown show for a year and a half. It really has been. I mean, and then I don't know what else to say. Now they're in last place. We talk baseball every day. But they should be doing everything to get out front of this when the seats were empty last October. Caravan this, players, owners, ticket sale, like all of that. A real effort, a sales effort to recruit the community. Recruit the community. You got 98 Rock, you got BAL in your pocket, Justin Tucker's bad news
And if
everywhere.
they had done that and they played like this, it'd be a disaster either way.
I agree with that.
I mean, again, the lead for 2025 is that the baseball team is in shambles right now, and no one thought that. Everything else you say applies, and yes, and certainly applies over the last three
The
decades.
lead is no one
But,
knows what to do about it now that it's happened.
and that's where, if I am putting myself in David Rubenstein's shoes, I'm shocked because I thought I had a good baseball man running the show here, and maybe not. I mean, whether Michael
I
Vyett's
thought
going
I
to
had a
keep his
leader
job
of
or not.
men. I didn't think I had a guy who would fire his manager on Saturday and hide till Milwaukee on Tuesday. I mean, that to me, you're fired on Wednesday. You're fired on Monday if you're not standing in front of this. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, where is the leadership? This guy Manzalino looks like a little league coach. He speaks like a JV community college guy. Like it's just,
Yeah.
it's subpar. Fred Hollander making excuses for him all night, Palmer shaking his head and looking forlorn, like I should have signed up for less games.
Well, and the prop, see,
It's not even June,
I
man.
was talking about this with a friend on Wednesday night. The problem with this is in 19 and 20 and 21, when they were losing at this very similar clip, and that's not to say they're going to lose 110 games this year, but they're a losing team, and they're going to be a losing team. And maybe they find a way to go on a run to somehow finish 500, but they're not. They're going to be sitting at home in October. The difference is, in those years, you were selling Adley Rutschman down at Double A. You were selling Gunnar Henderson coming up through the minors. You were selling the number one overall pick that you just took. You had the number one farm system in baseball.
And you
You.
fulfilled that promise at 101 wins.
Yeah, sure. But now it's fallen apart. As I've said, I don't think it's impossible to salvage this thing and get it back on track, but do you have the wherewithal to do it? Are you willing to make changes? If you're Mike Elias and this front office, are you willing to be introspective to the point to recognize we shouldn't have done that? We screwed up on that. We're lacking in this area. We've got to pivot here. We've got to get rid of this and bring this in. Whether we're talking about manager, player development, something in our farm system. I mean, you kind of, I said this somewhat flippantly to someone, but you kind of look at how the Orioles have operated with their farm system and these young players. If they were relegated to the International League, they'd have a dynasty because look at all their prospects. They get to Triple A and they're amazing. And yet guys get called up to the majors. And we've seen this pattern repeat. Now, Jackson Holliday, thankfully, looks like he's broken that. But how many of these guys have gotten to the majors? And, Kyle Stowers, we thought, okay, he's a quad A player. All right, you move him. Well, look what he looks like now. He's on his way to being an all-star for the Miami Marlins. Now, that might be an isolated thing, but boy, you better look at everything you're doing and figure out why that happened, why that turned out the way it did. Because where are the blind spots? What needs to be adjusted? What needs to be thrown out entirely? What needs to be added? What needs to be augmented? Do you need a manager that has more clout in terms of experience? In the way that you thought of Buck Showalter coming in 15 years ago. Doesn't mean I'm saying Buck individually, but do you need a manager that carries more cachet in that way? Do you need a coaching staff that has more meaningful major league experiences? That, and I don't mean just like hire any name, but is there something to that? Are you lacking from a human element standpoint? Is there something that from an emotional intelligence standpoint that's lacking in your way that you're interacting, right? Are there interpersonal skills lacking somewhere? Look, I don't know the answers to all. I've said this to you. I'm dumbfounded that it's been this bad, right? I'm still struggling why it's this bad. I can tell you the obvious things that we see. We talked about the pitching, right? I've been dumbfounded that their offense, even before the injury started piling up, has been as mediocre to bad as it's been when you thought it was going to be something that was elite, that was going to carry your pitching. And it's not even that. I mean, they still wouldn't be that great even with their pitching being, just below average to average rather than horrendous. So, that to me right now, regardless of the leadership piece and the lack of talking to the media piece that we talked about, in the aftermath of Hyde being let go. If I'm ownership, if I'm this front office, man, there better be a lot of soul searching going on right now. But because if you're just kind of sitting back and just shrugging your shoulders, then boy, then they are some.
If the only message to your fans is what Melanie Newman's selling in the pregame show, like if that's your outreach, literally, that's their outreach at this point. Put Masson on. It might be Masson 1, it might be Masson 2. If it's a rain delay, Bader won't even put up on the screen that there's a rain delay. Like I've gone to both channels a couple of days ago and I'm like, are they playing or are they not? Last was the last Saturday morning where they've kicked so many games around. Like the fact that people find them and the fact that it's pouring rain. I'm looking out the window here. It's pouring rain, and I'm thinking they can't be playing. And I check my app at 6:15, and I don't see a delay. And then, sure enough, there's a delay, but not too long of a delay. And at 7:15, I look up, and they're in the second inning. They're a last place team. See, you know why I seek them out? It's my job. It's what I do. It's all I've ever done. If it weren't my job, I would never watch them again. I could admit that out loud. Like, I'm not that entertained by it anymore. I certainly wouldn't pay for it. And I'm wondering when they go to Seattle and play in the middle of the night, they're going, not even going to Oakland, by the way, or
Well, no
Kansas
one's
City.
staying up late to watch
They're
a
going to
last place team.
Sacramento, right? I mean, they're just going to go away. They're irrelevant. That's Bob Haney's word back in the day. Irrelevant. And that's where they are. And that should anger guys like you and me to dedicate our lives to it. It should. It should. It should. It should anger. It's angered my buddy that spent $2,000 giving him money and all these people that gave them money and the stadium's empty. At some point, these people have to come down there and spend the money and grudgingly.
Well, really, what should happen if you're an organization that has a clue would be to recognize that and you start discounting the heck out of stuff for those people who have already spent the money, or you
Two for ones, baby. BOGO,
You work out
BOGO, right?
that, or you work out possibilities that you can roll a certain percentage of that into next year, right? And start thinking about
You
it in
say to
those
the guy with
terms.
the $2,000, here's some $10 tickets tonight. You start
Yeah,
using.
here's some
Anytime
$10
you
tickets
want to
tonight.
come, it's 10
And
bucks.
also, we can't roll the entire balance into next year, but we'll roll $400 of that into next year for you. Like, team will be better. Like, however you want to sell
They
it,
better
right?
get on that yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday.
1000% agree with you on that.
Especially if
I
their
mean,
general manager is going to run like a coward. He is Luke. He's Baltimore Luke. He's watching baseball. I'm watching baseball. That's the thing, dude. And this does appeal more to the prick in me and the fact that I've got 56 years into this and Katie Griggs has 56 minutes since making $1 million a year and won't return my phone calls. The amount of time that you and I have dedicated to this and your love of it. You love it. I don't love it anymore. And I'm clear about that. I do it. I know more than anybody, especially when I get together with people like Charles Steinberg and Rick Vogt, people, real OGs, bearing Jim Henneman this week, who is the encyclopedia of all encyclopedia of Baltimore baseball, the
Yeah.
history. Charles Steinberg's now in line. And if you listen to it, you'll know that. And they're long gone and they're never to return. The fact that blows me away, if you listen to Rick Vaughn and Charles Steinberg, is the fact that if I had $2 billion and I bought the baseball team, they'd have been the first people I called. Not necessarily to hire them, but they love the Orioles more than
Feedback
you love
inst
the Orioles, more than I love the
feedback
Orioles.
institutional knowledge, what works in Baltimore, what doesn't work in Baltimore, what do you think we should do? From watching from afar, what's been
Instead of getting a
lacking?
headhunter to find a woman in Seattle
Sure.
who ran a soccer team in Atlanta 5 years
But
ago and has been in sports 8 years.
that's largely the way of the world in the modern era. I mean, everyone thinks they're an expert, and a lot, there are a lot of people out there, and I don't mean
Because
this in
she has data.
I
I'm
don't
sure
mean
she
this
has
in
data.
baseball. I don't mean this in baseball, just in general. Like, we all, because we have the internet, because we have social media, because we have access to more information than ever. Than anyone in the history of civilization because of this and the laptop I'm using right now to speak to you, right? I mean, we're not in the same room right now. It's very easy to fall into the mindset that you know everything and you're good and you don't need help and you have all the answers. Some people that I value as the smartest people in my life, in my space are people who recognize they don't know everything. And yeah, you can use the internet, and yeah, you can use research, and yeah, use all that data. Data is good. One thing that's become very obvious as the Orioles are in this disaster of a 2025 season, you see some of the old argument of analytics versus old school. The answer is not one or the other. The answer is a healthy blend of taking the best part of analytics and blending it with the best part of old school, knowing that one or the other in isolation, no, is not good enough.
By the way, Rick Vaughn, who works with and for Joe Maddon and has for
Yeah,
20 years,
you need a
Rick brought
blend.
Joe Maddon up as Joe would sit in there and question everything. That's why they don't want
Sure.
a guy like Joe around, because
Sure.
Joe questions the analytics.
Analytics are great. And anyone would tell you that analytics, anyone that's old school, I would laugh in their face too and say, you're a dinosaur. You need to adapt because we know a lot more about baseball from a statistical standpoint than we did 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, which, by the way, that's how it's supposed to work. We should get smarter over time. But you also have to be careful to recognize, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater in the sense of you have all this other information. Don't completely discredit
Dude, 75
experience.
million people, a lot of them Major League Baseball fans, voted for this chump, this charlatan to run the country who is anti-science, anti-data, anti-facts, anti-books, anti-everything. So that's the nature of the culture. To elect this guy who says there is no climate change, this foul weather we've had for 11 days is normal in May when it's 58 degrees, and tornadoes and like that hit Dundalk 2 weeks ago. This is all normal. Because there is a movement in this country, in this culture, to hate data, hate science, hate facts, hate history, hate melding what is history and what is factual with what is now. If they did that, they would see more in Hitler than they've seen in this guy that's running the country. But people here don't know about any of that stuff, and they want to follow their heart. And their heart is, it's the Orioles, and I love them. And I'll tell you this, man, when I had Vaughn on, and specifically Steinberg and I really got into it this week. Fantastic fans night. How old were you? Four?
1988, so I would have been 5 that October.
May of 88. You were
Yeah.
four, right? I don't know that you could even conceive
No.
that they could get 52,000 people out there if they lose every game this weekend and they lose all next week, and the city would feel so sorry for them and so brotherly, familial, supportive of them that they would want to give them a hug and pack the stadium. Remember Toronto packed the stadium for a dollar
Yeah.
when they had SARS?
That
It
was
was a,
also,
like,
but it was also 5 years after their last World Series and 5 years on the heels of 20 years of being arguably the class of Major
I'm just
League
saying that's
Baseball.
how loved
Yeah.
they were. That's
Oh,
where
no
their
question.
brand was.
No question.
That's I put that
And
love
that's gone
marks
away
thing
in
up in that
four
FU I
decades.
sent to Katie Greggs, that Saatchi and Saatchi. When you're loved and respected,
And you
the
had the
Orioles aren't
Colts.
loved or respected here after 30. Like they're just not. And they need to figure
Not
that
on a
out.
wide scale. No. I mean, I look, are there still people who love the Orioles? Absolutely. There's still plenty of, and I don't mean apologists. I mean people that still love the team, right? People who still will be critical, still like to go. Now they might not go as much as they used to, or they might not go as much when they're losing, or whatever the case, but there's still plenty of people who love it. But let's face it, and this is part of what I talk about as far as lost generations. And I made the analogy talking about Barry, for example, compared to me. We're similar in age, but I think you'll find that more and more the people that love the team love it because someone else loved it when it was truly something special. If I based, and I and this is tough for me to say because I've been covering the team, for a long time now. But as far as just my lifetime, if I never got into sports media and just talked about my lifetime as an Orioles fan, at this point, I'd absolutely be questioning, like, why do I do this? I love them because my dad did. I love them because my grandparents did, and my mom did back then. She doesn't, I mean, she doesn't even have Masson at this point in time. And I don't say that to, I'm not
Well, what
picking on her or
about them would
anything.
make you love them at this point?
Well, but that's the thing. You're cheering on ghosts. And I don't mean that to be morbid in the sense that Brooks Robinson's gone now and Frank Robinson's gone now. I mean that more in the sense of just the memory of them on the field in the glory days of, going from 1966 through 1983 and
Well,
all the
my
years
buddy
in.
that has this $2,000, and I'll keep bringing him up, he is an avid sports card collector. He has a Brooks
Yeah.
Robinson collection, all that. But I haven't been to a baseball game with him in 30 years. I didn't even know he had this baseball card collection until he told me. He said that I had a baseball card collection when I was a kid. We knew each other. He's like, I always loved your collection. I like the cards. I like the way they feel. But I don't think my buddy has been to 10 Orioles games in the last 15 years. And he gave him $2,000 this year
Yeah.
because of that feeling that he used to have that he couldn't have with Angelos, because he's also in
That's
the legal
yeah.
space, so he knew better. That, hey, this is new and different. I'm going to be a stake. I'm going to get in because I am getting older and I want to go back to the ballpark with friends. And I've said that to Leonard. I said that to all of our
And
clients.
to
Hey,
and to be clear,
and even
to
with
that.
you, I thought that when this guy bought the team, I literally thought when I had tears in my eyes behind the club level last opening day, 15 months ago, 14 months ago, I thought at that point I was real close to sitting next to you in the press box and getting my life back and doing what God put me here to do, which is do sports and do Baltimore sports. I thought that that was going to happen. And by May 15th of last year, I knew that wasn't going to happen. And by May 16th of last year, I've just said, you know what? I don't need to sit in the press box and eat shitty hot dogs with you. I don't need to go down there 80 times a year if they don't want me there. The game's on TV here. Here's where I was going to say this a few minutes ago, because you and I got going a lot longer in this than I thought we were going to. I'm not going to quit on them because that's what they want. They want me to go. They want people like pricks like me to go away. Like with David Rubenstein, I shook his hand and I said, there's been trauma here. And I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
He literally, on the, I don't know if it's an altar, I don't want to use the wrong word, whatever the center stage is at Beth Tofilo, I was out there, I shook, he literally, I waited to the end, he didn't have anybody else to shake a hand. He had done selfies and autographs and baseballs and everything. I waited to the end so I could have a word with this human who bought the baseball team and said that he loved my cousin on the air, right? So my dude, I didn't have a minute and 10 seconds with him. I introduced myself. I shook his hand. I said, "Mr. Rubenstein, there's been a lot of trauma here. I don't want to hear that." "Okay, dude. Okay. All right, man. That's my professional opinion of 35 years of doing this better than anybody this side of Jim Henneman. Forever." And these people don't have a clue. That's the sad part, is they don't know how to fix it. The sad part is I want to walk away and never watch it again and just not care about it anymore. But that'd be making it too easy on them. Like Chad Steele throwing me out, just thinking I was just gonna like not show up or not send you over there or not keep my business in order. Like just all the stuff that these teams have done, it's just they're sleazy, man. The Ravens are sleazy. The Orioles, I don't know about sleazy, they're just incompetent. The Orioles are incompetent right now. There is a naivete and a lack of competency. And it's been that way ever since Greg Bader's been running the. I mean, like John Angelo's incompetent. All these people, you know how I know they're incompetent? They had a winning team the last 2 years, and they couldn't get people to come to sit in the upper deck for $10 in the playoffs. And this is the same franchise that got 52,000 people to run out there and pay full price when the team lost 21 games in a row because we love them that much, and they're still eating off that, or trying to. And that's your point. Your point is everything that filters down to these people going out there, everybody still going out there either remembers Fantastic Fans Night or their mother and father were there.
Yeah.
And that's why they're hanging on.
Yeah. I mean, what since Cal Ripken in 95?
Dude, Cal Ripken's been gone 24 years.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be talking about the 30th anniversary of 2131, this September. But to your point you made a little bit earlier in the segment, I mean, you can count on one hand the number of truly special things that have happened since then. Two hands, let's say. I don't want to be too unfair, but Delmon Young, Cal's retired. Let's say from the moment Cal retired in 2001, Delmon Young,
Eddie Murray hit 500 in the middle of the night. Nobody was there. 25
Eddie
years
Murray.
ago.
I mean, that was 96.
30 years ago.
The
Dude, you got to
2000s.
go back 30 years in a stadium to talk about things that happened. That's pathetic.
Yeah, and as far as players that really resonated over the last 20 years, Adam Jones. I think Adam Jones really resonated. Now, I'm not going to put Adam Jones on the same level as Brooks, right? For one thing, it's a, the world is way different than it was back then. I mean, it absolutely is. But in terms of players in the last 15 or 20 years, now that they've had good ball players. I mean, Manny Machado is going to be a Hall of Famer. But as far as a player who really connected in a way that resembles anything like the old guard, it's kind of Adam Jones, and that's kind of it. And a few playoff teams,
Well, and everybody else who was associated with BJ Cerhoff, Mike Bordick,
right? It's not to say they haven't been here,
they've mistreated those people.
yeah.
Terry Crowley, I'll see
But
him
you
next week
just
up at Greenmount Station.
and
Yeah.
again, so much of that is just you don't have that anymore. And that the idea that people would break bread with the Colts and sit there and have a beer with Art Donovan, like that doesn't
Well,
happen
if
in
that's not
today's
coming
world.
back, you better sell something else.
So yeah, sure. But I'm
Bobbleheads.
just saying, like in any market, you don't see that. But at the same time, you did have this team that, man, won 101 games in 2 years ago. It's the best Orioles team, regular season wise, best Orioles team of my lifetime. Think about that. I mean, it
This
was.
time a year ago, I was with my wife. That Yankee series you talk about when it all fell apart right around this time last year. I remember
It's
making
11
this
months ago.
passioned speech to my wife that's the best team I've ever seen them have, the best potential they've
You were
ever
thinking
had
that
as
because
a
all these
franchise a
young
year ago.
guys, and it's completely fallen apart since then. And again, I can't fully explain it. That's where Michael Elias and ownership, everyone involved behind the scenes, has to be taking a long look at all of this. It's not just a couple bad decisions in the off season, although that's certainly a major part of it. It's not just the pitching. It's not just the injuries. It's not just some young players regressing or not taking the next step. It's all of those things, all of that, and so much more behind the scenes that might be causing this. And I'm not implying like any shadiness or anything like that, but there are clearly things that are missing or things that aren't being done well, from a baseball standpoint. And then, to your point with ownership, you walked into something that I don't know this, but I'm assuming the mindset of the new ownership group was you were inheriting something that was looking so promising from a baseball standpoint that you could kind of come in and cruise. And that's not to say that.
And you weren't going to have to make hard decisions
Right. And that's not to
or
say there
have any
wasn't,
scrutiny
not
at
to say there
all.
wasn't going to be some work to be done or any of that. I mean, that would be naive to think that they didn't, and that's where we go back to, how many changes have they made to the business and different things like
Once you
that.
see the 10,000
But
empty seats for a playoff game in October, that's
I mean,
code
that's a
red.
red
That's
flag.
code red.
That's a red flag big time. Yes, I agree. But then when the baseball part of it falls apart, now you have this group where I think they're very much, I'm guessing there's very much a sense of, oh my gosh, what do? We didn't sign up for this. And I'm not saying that to
I know
empathize.
the one thing you can't do is hide from your fans.
Fair. Fair. That's
That's,
why I said, I mean,
that's called leadership. That's called basic accountability. You can't be loved and respected if this is the way you're going to behave.
sure. And I
Not by me,
the
anyway.
fact that Mike Elias didn't talk until Milwaukee 3 days later was shameful behavior from the organization. And if you really wanted to truly do it the right way, it should have been David Rubenstein sitting next to Mike Elias for a press conference, even if they didn't do it that Saturday.
God, make some sort of effort to put a
Do it
front on
Sunday
this.
morning before the finale, before you're going back on the road, and say, look, we didn't do this yesterday. We know a lot of you were at Preakness, and we know that would have been tough for the media. We did what we did yesterday. We were trying to stay above water when we decided to let go of Brandon, but we needed to be in front of this. We wanted to talk to you. And they did none of that. And how much of that is Mike Elias making that decision? How much of that is David Rubenstein? How much of that is PR? How much of that
How
is
much of that is
the
arrogance and a
failure?
lack of courage? How
It
much of that
just
is
it's just a
arrogance
failure.
and a lack of courage? That's what I would call that. Luke, we'll break it because the White Sox are in town. We can win some games. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. I don't want to play the pissed off guy on the radio all day. That's why I'm going to talk to other people. But if you have not heard the Charles Steinberg piece, if you've not heard the Rick Vaughn piece, I would highly encourage you to do that. I've also honored Jim Irsay this week, and people don't want to hear that, but it's just where it is. I've had Rick Venturi on. I've had because we wondered, the Colts left, whatever happened to them, what did they become, what did it become for that city? I'm taking all that on like a grown-up all these years later, because it has been, oh, 41 years. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Till times get better, free beer for everybody here at Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.